As we officially kick off our Tallahassee Food Challenge, we're going to have this conversation with Monique Ellsworth Van Pelt, CEO for Second Harvest here in the Big Bend. And in the second hour, I'm going to talk with our good friend Tom Flanagan. He's going to bring us up to date on all things Tallahassee and state legislature. So stay with me, friends. This will be good.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer...
My friend, it's about that time once again for us to gather around the glowing warmth of your radio receiver, or maybe it's your cell phone, your laptop, however you are able to participate in today's conversations. And they are just that, they're conversations. I've never been very good at interviews, when in fact these are conversations that are unscripted, in which we endeavor to bring you real thoughts, real ideas. To say that is sort of silly, but let's just say spontaneous ideas and spontaneous comments. That is kind of how we are, right? I mean, this is what we do, people, human beings, some of us anyway. See somebody at the grocery store and you strike up a conversation and you don't pull out your note cards. That's how we do things here. We're fortunate to have Carl at the helm, because otherwise, I mean, Tom and I would just be yakking at each other and never really make any sense. At least I wouldn't. Tom is always sensible. You know him because of his longstanding work with WFSU, and man, what a soldier he is, 30 years and counting. So we'll get into that in the second hour, finding out what this young man knows about what's going on around town and local state politics, and, you know, just kind of where we are, state of the community sort of idea, because he knows stuff. He's in the business of knowing stuff and reporting those things that he knows. He's very good at it, as you know. In the first hour, I want to take the opportunity there to talk with Monique Ellsworth Van Pelt, who is the chief executive officer for the beloved Second Harvest of the Big Bend. 40 years plus they are. I think this is now their 41st or something like that. Great opportunity to learn more directly from Monique how this watershed organization, as it is, provides food for all of us, really, directly or indirectly. You may not have ever received food through one of the local charities, but if you haven't, well, your neighbors have, and maybe the people you work with have. Or maybe someone else in your, you know, your circle. Or maybe a friend of a friend. Or maybe a relative of yours outside of the immediate family. Why is that? Well, because Second Harvest does provide that level of capability. They have this amazing 4-to-1 ratio. Their buying power. So they buy $4 worth of food for every dollar that you and I provide them in donation. It's a great thing. It's what we do every year about this time, as we kick off our observance of and our effort called Tallahassee Food Challenge. Has its own little website there, and instructions and directions, and our host of sponsors who are in the main are responsible for getting us the advertising dollars we need, because we'll get busy here and start bringing television and radio and all the other media options we have, outdoor, digital, social media, all that stuff, any way we can. We may resort to matchbook covers at some point because we have a very simple message. Take the challenge. What is that challenge? Well, challenge being what it is to confront the food deserts, the food scarcities that Leon County has been infamously dubbed in this state of Florida as one of the most troubled. The numbers are not happy. And we know, too, that in relation to entrenched poverty in the community, when you start coupling those things together, you are setting the stage for generational poverty, and then comes those incidences of violent crime and other such things, other such challenges for us. Runaway kids, robberies, and it doesn't get better by itself. So the food challenge is here to say, take the challenge, fill a bowl, and do something at the outset of your efforts to contribute in a positive way. Filling that bowl simply means put the money where your mouth is, put your effort at putting out the fire, while we at the same time know, and this is something Monique Ellsworth will talk about with us, we've got to figure out better how we protect the people involved from further incidents. That is to say, if we're going to put out the fire, let's figure out what caused the fire. And by the way, can we build the structure so that it doesn't catch fire again? It's that analogous sort of picture. How can we then better improve conditions economically, socially, educationally? Not a little task by any means, and it's one that's ongoing. It has been troubling us, of course, nationally, as well as we are experiencing it here locally. We, for our part, have taken it upon ourselves to say it's about keeping us all in tune, better informed. And so one of our, sort of mnemonics is hunger never takes a holiday. And then there's always that opportunity when we are reminded during the holiday season, we call it, Thanksgiving, Christmas, to say, hey, what can we do? What can we do to help out? Well, Christmas Connection, for its part, is part of that whole answer. And you know quite well by now that that's been another part of our effort. Taking those tools and talents and opportunities we have here as an organization to put all that to work and to bring to bear a message that says, while we're trying to figure out the big picture, the long-term solutions, let's at least do this much. Let's keep air in the tire so we can get down the road and get the tire repaired or replaced. That's another metaphor there for you. Great for that, aren't I? But that's what we're doing today. We're going to take some more time here in just a moment. We'll be talking with Monique, and I've got some other information for you coming up in regard to our Tallahassee Food Challenge, so you want to stay with me for that. A couple announcements from Leon County. County is expanding its eligibility for fall of 2023, the Junior Apprenticeship Program. Speaking of giving young people an opportunity to hoist themselves out of otherwise undesirable circumstances, this is an award-winning program that's now open to the public and to charter and private and virtual school students. How cool is that? Leon Works Junior Apprenticeship Program applications are due by Friday, March 31st. And you can apply now at the leoncountyfl.gov/JRApprentice. website. Want that one more time? Let me give it to you again. LeonCountyFL.gov/JR Apprentice. So the program itself is dubbed the Leon Works Junior Apprenticeship Program, and its expansion to include other eligible students involves Leon County High School juniors and seniors, regardless of whether they attend public, private, a charter school, or an online school. And the partnership program is cooperates with Career Source Capital Region. And it's designed to encourage high school's juniors and seniors to take advantage of these opportunities and earn hourly wages while building valuable workforce skills. That's why we want to make sure that we get the word out. Stay with me, folks. We're going to have more right after this. Darling, welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Recall, if you will, that you can find us online anytime, TallahasseeTalks.com. We are broadcast on Moose Magnificat Saturday mornings at 9, and delighted to be part of the Saturday lineup over there at 93.3 FM. Our good friend Greg Tisch, Matty Rowe, and John Jopling, all of those good people that make 93.3 what it is, Real Talk, they call themselves, right here in Tallahassee, 7 o'clock Saturday morning. Always a pleasure to we do a little call-in with Greg on Friday morning, so it's always fun to, you know, join up with all the people that he has lined up for his show. If you haven't done that, you should check it out. Greg Tisch, Matty Rowe, every weekday morning, starting up, I think, at 6 to 9. Whoosh. Yeah, brother. This guy is a serious, serious contender for Superman, I think. Here's another announcement from our friends at Leon County, celebrating Black History Month with library events and resources. Leon County government celebrating the contributions, triumphs, and achievements of Black Americans during Black History Month in February with the African American Read-In, that's interesting, movie screenings, a genealogy event, story times, all kinds of neat stuff going over there at Leroy Collins Leon County Public Library System. There's a thematic book list and movie watch list that you can get from the library. And in addition to these in-person and digital resources, you're encouraged to attend these upcoming events during February. So here's one called the Preschool Storytime. Various times and dates and locations, designed for children ages 3 to 6. Storytime will feature songs, rhymes, and stories that focus on Black History Month. Then, Saturday, February 11, there's a lot of things going on the 11th. What happened? Everybody decided they'd just pick a number, and they all chose 11. February 11th, Downtown Main Library, enjoy a movie double feature of the 2016 BAFTA award-winning documentary, I Am Not Your Negro. And it begins at 11:30, followed by a 2016 Academy Award-winning film, Moonlight. And that one was directed by FSU Film School alum Barry Jenkins. That starts at 1:30. I'll tell you what, Leon County Library is stepping up here, doing their part. And then there's this other event, Saturday the 11th. An African-American Genealogy 101. Basically, this is a short course from Dr. Juanita Gaston. She'll teach you how to explore your family tree. Wow. With a deep dive into birth, marriage, and death records. So bring your laptop or check it out online. You can use one of the library's laptops, is what I meant to say. You do have to register for that. So you want to check in with Leon County Library and see, hey, can I register for African American Genealogy 101? Okay. And I think we'll stop there. The list goes on. I would have you encourage you to check in with the folks at Leon County Library and find out more. You can go to their website, no doubt. Here's one last announcement. 14th Annual Capital City Senior Games are coming back March 1st. courtesy of City of Tallahassee. This ever popular Capital City Senior Games will be running March 1st to the 14th, so a couple of weeks there. Presented by City of Tallahassee. Games help keep Tallahassee's senior population active and healthy, with present company accepted. Last year, more than 500 athletes from 10 states participated in 15 different sports. Wow. Sports enthusiasts 50 and older are encouraged to get involved. How do you do that? Well, you register online, as of course, talgov.com/senior games. talgov.com/senior games. Or you can call them. The local number, of course, 850-891-3875. The fee to register for the event is $15, which means you get a t-shirt and two tickets to the closing celebration of athletes' dinner. Hey, man, that's a good deal. I mean, maybe I'll just do that. Get a shirt and a dinner for $15. Each additional event is $3. The venue fees apply for some events. Okay. The games feature competitions designed for all levels of fitness. That's good news. Including archery, a bag toss. I'm good at tossing bags. Basketball, bowling. Carl, bowling. Oh, that's right. You're not over 60. Okay, sorry. Cycling and golf. Horseshoes. Horseshoes? Oh, man. Pickleball. That's a new thing, isn't it? Not a new thing, but a growing in popularity thing. And powerlifting. Man, there's a bunch of different stuff here. So check it out online. Go to the City of Tallahassee's website and find out about senior games. talgov.com/senior games. In other news, we are, as I mentioned earlier, kicking off our Tallahassee Food Challenge campaign for 2023. Now recall, if you will, the fact that this is an effort we have made over the last 12 years, to better underscore the importance of us responding to the needs of children and families who find themselves on the short end of needed food, especially during this time of year when, in fact, families depend upon, children depend upon school programs that provide breakfast, lunch, dinner. And some of the stories that come up out of that experience are really heart-wrenching. We're going to talk to Monique Ellsworth here in just a minute at length about the impact that that has on a child's life. Our own commissioner, Jeremy Matlow, has stories to tell about his growing up in homelessness and dealing with hunger on a daily basis, he and his siblings. Yeah, it is the implications, the direct impact, and the long-term implications are staggering because they don't bring us to think that somehow this is only a temporary sort of consequence. No. The long-term effects include the lack of mental development, which impacts development of language skills and math skills. I mean, we're not just talking about being hungry while you're sitting there in class. That's distracting enough. We're talking about the human body not having the nutritional needs met to be able to function and to grow properly, right? So if that is of concern to you, then I would encourage you to visit our website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. We've tried to do our very best and we'll continue to do our best to bring you those needed resources, information, the various food charities around the community that are responsible for supplying these families and individuals who find themselves hungry all the time. Well, we bring Second Harvest to the table on that question because all of these food charities, churches and others, look to Second Harvest for that supply of food. Now they all have their own sources as well, food drives and such. But Second Harvest is that sort of watershed opportunity for so many. And in that capacity, it makes it easier for us, all of us who want to help, because you can go to the Second Harvest website and you click on donate, and there you go. We even have that button on our website. Again, it's TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. And we tip our hat to those businesses that put their hard-earned advertising dollars to work in this capacity, simply because they care. They care about not only the future and outcomes for these children and for families, they care about our community. You know, there's the old idea that if one part of the body is hurting, then the whole body hurts. If one part of our community is struggling, then it's our struggle. It's what we do to make sure that we as a community are doing better.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Monique Ellsworth is the current chief executive officer at Second Harvest of the Big Bend, the food bank that serves 11 counties. Count them. 11 counties in North Florida. Monique has been actively engaged in Tallahassee's social service community since 2011, passionately working on social issues related to poverty. Most recently, she served as executive director of CESC, C-E-S-C, which is a nonprofit organization. She'll correct me on that. Don't worry. We'll get that straightened out. A nonprofit organization which operates a homeless shelter, two housing programs, one of which was a tiny house complex, and a healthcare and dental clinic, all which provided care for individuals and families experiencing homelessness and economic hardship in Tallahassee. And she is our guest this morning. How are you, Miss Ellsworth?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Nice to see you.
Yes, good to see you too.
One of those factoids comes down to the 1-to-4 ratio. So for every dollar I put in your hand, you're empowered to go out there and buy $4 worth of food because of the relationships you have established with these large-scale food providers, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's, the purchase power of our organization is huge. So when folks are going out and if you're spending a dollar on food, what I'm able to get in volume with that same dollar is much different.
So in some respects, it feels a bit a sort of counterpoint, doesn't it? Because no one would ever tell anybody, well, don't donate food to this food charity. I mean, that's just not cool. But we should do both, I suppose. I think there's a kind of reward for people when they're, you know, they're putting bags of groceries into that collection box.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Yeah, far more tangible. Personal? You get to you're staring at that can of fruit or can of meat and soups, and you can imagine because you've opened those, and you can imagine the other hands that will hold it that need it, and that speaks to a lot of our donors and other donors. They've recognized the link that a single dollar can go in the organization, right, and the way that they want to give is through cash contribution also.
And you know, that's a great point. The other part of that for me is the publicity, we'll say, or just the public view. When you've got Gloria out there with her truck, you know,
sure.
Fill a truck. So there, in and of itself, that's a PR campaign on wheels. And that it tends to encourage everybody else then. So the food donations that are gathered themselves are indeed valuable. But then there's that second wave. It's that sort of intangible that says, we need to keep this topic in our view, don't we?
Right. Absolutely.
Is that the biggest challenge for you? Is in terms of your role, you know, you're the chief cook and bottle washer, you'd say. So your role as a fundraiser is got to be preeminent, right?
Absolutely. And educating.
Educating.
Central to our mission is educating our community on the issues related to poverty and the various systems that have broken down that have led to food insecurity in our community.
And what are you doing as an organization, we'll say, here this month, next month, and going forward? What happens to make people more aware? What do you commit yourself to do?
Well, things like this, even. This is a great opportunity, but really when you get such a huge volume of listeners that get the chance where I have the opportunity to speak about what's happened historically, what's happening today, our dreams for the future, doing this at lunch and learns, getting to do presentations across the community, radio shows, this is an enormous gift for our organization.
Okay. So some of that is rather granular, isn't it? It's kind of down in the trenches, one-on-one sort of things, or small groups. And then there's the large-scale efforts, and that's where I will play to the home team here, the Tallahassee Food Challenge, which we have authored and then operated over the last 11 years. The mission there is informational and motivational. We want people to give generously and often, right? So our little slogan is, hunger never takes a holiday, right?
That is so true.
There's never a time out. We get through, let's say, the holidays, the end of the year. We come into the spring, and what are we thinking about? Oh, you know, paying taxes maybe, and baseball or whatever spring, or vacations. And we're just hanging in there for spring break. Meanwhile, the schools are at the other half of their year. And as school lunches and school breakfasts become unavailable and donations tend to sag a bit, then the crisis begins to grow. And I've had people in your job, various food charities, tell me, man, the need is critical. This time of year, we find ourselves really faced with some food shortages, trying to make that happen. Speak to that.
Well, to be honest, so coming on and being fairly new to food insecurity and working on food-related issues and hunger in Tallahassee, that has been one of the most profound things that I've learned is the impact on children and the breaks in school and the lack of food available to the kids in our community. 23,000 children across the 11 counties that we serve do not know where they and may not get dinner tonight, but 10,000 of those children are here in Leon County. And we are so close. I mean, we are so close to 10,000 children that the action of Second Harvest and through third-party connections like with you and opportunities to raise not only money and drive food donations, but awareness about that information could be profoundly impactful on 10,000 children here in Tallahassee.
Right now. Yeah.
But I hadn't understood that on spring break, that's 5 school days where parents are likely working and children are at home without food. And that on long weekends, those are days when children are without food. And across an entire summer break, children likely do not have accessible and healthy food readily available regularly in their homes. Those are disturbing facts to begin learning. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's nothing more than understanding the needs of a child to motivate me as a new CEO here, but also to like want to go out and begin beating that drum and educating and inviting people to participate in the solution.
I'm really excited about it. She is the CEO for Second Harvest of the Big Bend, Monique Ellsworth, our guest this morning. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Simrow.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, I'm glad, because Monique Ellsworth is here to tell you a little bit more about Second Harvest of the Big Bend, its mission, great history with us as a community, and a mission that has sort of evolved, hasn't it? I mean, and I hope that we have made this point in this conversation, and we certainly will continue to try to do so, that when we look at hunger, we're looking at the tip of an iceberg sort of thing, right? We're just looking at one demonstration of, or maybe expression of, or outgrowth from what are, as you've said, a very complex set of conditions.
Right.
Including mental health, right?
Yeah. So I believe that, and I'm encouraged that there's a conversation among food banks that hunger and food insecurity is nothing more than a symptom of an under-resourced house. Mm. And although putting food on the table and making sure that people have adequate access to mm-hmm. an adequate amount of food to maintain needed nourishment, mm-hmm. there are large issues at play that need to be looked at, examined, and addressed as well.
Well, that seems to grow from your baptism at Appalachian Mental Health, in as much as you came through that whole internship experience, and as you came through, you know, came out the other side, you went, okay, treatment is one thing, solving problems is something else, right?
Yeah, and the continued, what's really beautiful is the continued partnership with Appalachia and my continued involvement with Dr. Jay Reeves over there. Involvement, having his team on site helping people every single day, Monday through Friday, while I was with the Kearney Center was incredible. He and I are now working on ways to develop a food pantry and food program for everybody that's receiving services at Appalachia to leave with food. It's really beautiful to see how, again, that collaborative nature, the collaborative effort is really developing in our community.
A big focus, of course, for you as an organization, Second Harvest, kids, right?
Absolutely.
Kids that are the victims, ultimately, more so than anybody else.
Children are the innocent ones. And without adequate resources given to families so that they can support their children, we are dooming a generation. I'm excited, and I've learned a lot from Second Harvest in ways that the food bank has evolved in its ways to address and serve families and children in our community. In fact, 32% of all food that leaves our organization goes directly to children. So we have three programs. One is our backpack program, and we have a lot of community support helping to pack these backpacks. And what we've been able to do is get invited into schools. Teachers recognize, and actually teachers are going to know the difference. Monday morning, children file into a classroom, and teachers know the child that has not eaten since their free or reduced lunch that past Friday.
How do they know that? Just from observation?
Yeah, just the behavioral indicators, attention span, children sleeping in class, poverty naps.
You can see it.
And yeah, so the performance of a child on Monday morning is an indicator of what type of resource was available for that child across the weekend. So what we've been able to do is take the recommendation and the reporting of teachers on children that need backpacks packed for them. And we were able to pack bags of food discreetly into backpacks of children on Friday afternoon before they board the bus. But like, there's a couple different scenarios. That child, they get the backpack full of their food. They're going to go sit on the bus, head home. And it is not uncommon for us to hear that child eats all of the food on the way home because they are that hungry. They're also young. Like, these are growing kiddos. So they're just devouring the food before they get home. Or they arrive at home, but because maybe there are so many other children in the household, or there's fear that they're going to have to share, that they hide the food in their yard. And on the weekend, as they can, they sneak out to some bush where they have, like, hidden their food so that they can eat. And maybe more concerning for me is the child, the six-year-old that walks into the house and hands over a bag of food with pride to their parent, that they're able to contribute to the resource shortage in their household. And what a burden for a six, seven, and eight-year-old child to hold.
Wow. We have had for a number of years with this food challenge promotion we do, the opportunity to talk to business people, because we're always asking, would you like to help? Can you contribute your advertising dollars, your portion of your marketing budget, so that we can spread the word, right? I can tell you more often than not, business owners saying, I'm not sure I really buy into all that. I don't know if I believe that there's 43% of the population suffering in this way. So I always thought it would be great if somehow we could foster a ride along. You know, come ride with me, and we'll bring the video crew, and we'll just drive those neighborhoods and let you see firsthand the kid that's hiding the food in the bushes in his backyard. Maybe then this invisible in plain sight sort of phenomenon will begin to erode.
You know, and to be honest, there are ways that, like, I really, I had this belief about myself that I was aware, I was in tune, I understood the depth, the breadth of poverty and issues in our community. I participated in the Prosperity for All 32304 project that Commissioner Proctor's put together. Right. It was either the first or the second summit. We were put on a bus and driven through Frenchtown. Antoine Wright, the executive director of Habitat for Humanity, stood up and he talked about the work that they've done on three houses in Frenchtown. And he said, when we arrived, these three houses, and we were passing by him and in general waves, he was saying, they're right here. They still had outhouses and did not have indoor plumbing. And it was 2019. And there are people in our community that does not, that do not have indoor plumbing. That like hurts my brain to think about.
It does.
I'm teaching a class right now at FSU, Homelessness in America. And I asked a couple questions for like an introductory get to know your students kind of questions at the, like their first class. And one of them was, do you know someone who's ever experienced homelessness? And several students were talking about fellow classmates. They were like, I have three friends and they live in their cars. And so I think that the volume of student food insecurity and homelessness is something that's underreported and not, I don't want to say it's not acknowledged, because I think there's immense interest in the university system also to understand that. But I can tell you that one of my, one effort that I will put as much behind as I can is deeper partnerships with our universities, our local universities and colleges, to try and support them as they help students that are trying to get an education and have food insecurities themselves.
And that can happen among people who you would not find below poverty level by any means. And I know that there's some effort being volleyed in that direction locally. And we're hoping to contribute there as well in bringing that to everybody's attention. Well, my friend, we've come to the end of this moment, and I have to say again, thank you for sharing your heart and your mind and your passion. There's a lot to be done. We've decided to join up with you, and I encourage everybody listening to participate. Tallahassee Food Challenge is an easy way to do it. Or if you want to go to Second Harvest, it's fightinghunger.org. And simple enough, Second Harvest of the Big Bend, our friend Monique Ellsworth over there at the helm. We'll have you back when it's convenient for you to be with us again.
Thank you so much. This was great.
A pleasure having you with us. Folks, that's what I have for you here at the moment. Stay with me through the top of the hour. We've got more coming up right after this.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Seller's Advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Seller's spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Seller's in Tallahassee. 656-8453. In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Always glad to have you on board whenever you have opportunity. We are pleased to be able to bring you the show, 93.3 FM Saturday mornings at 7. Over there at Real Talk, and then again Saturday mornings at 9 on Moose Magnificat, streaming live at moosemagnificat.com. And let me give a shout out to the Bradfordville Blues Club, because in fact Moose Magnificat carries a live broadcast of the Bradfordville Blues Club every Saturday night at 9. So that's a cool thing. Gary Anton and all the good people at BBC. We call it Live from the BBC, Saturday nights at 9. Tune in. Check that out. Easy enough to go to moosemagnificat.com and download the free app for your phone, iPhone or Android, whatever you got. Of course, you can always listen directly from the Moose Magnificat website because there's a audio player there just for your convenience. And it's a pleasure to be able to say, pleased to say that we have listeners from around the world. And we know that because it's all IP-based, right? So we know where that particular device is located on the planet. And we have listeners in Great Britain and Ireland, Middle East, Australia, of course, all around the United States, Canada. There's one listener up there in, I want to say it's in Nova Scotia. Maybe it's Montreal. I forget now. It was a longtime Tallahassee resident, moved to Canada. And she's always making comments about how great the station is. We appreciate that. So I encourage you to do the same. Find out what Tallahassee's music really sounds like, because that's that station. It's devoted to local musicians playing their original music. So you're not going to hear a lot of cover songs. In fact, that's not really where we go. But we've got a remarkable, I think we're upwards close to 2,000 various artists and songs and such, and it's all what we dub the sound of Tallahassee. It's emerging, no doubt, but characteristically diverse, just like the way we find ourselves these days. We're going to talk about that diversity with our good friend Tom Flanagan. He's waiting patiently to join us here in this next segment, and he'll be with us through the entire hour. And if you don't know Tom personally, you certainly know him by his reputation and by his work. And it's hard to think of anybody else in this community that can top him when it comes to his proficiency, his talents, his longevity, and his real love for what he does and for this town. I mean, there are a few. I think of Frank Ranicki and Art Myers, right? Anna Johnson, some of these people, Julie Montanaro. A lot of people that are certainly in that same lineup that are emerging. Many of them are graduates of Florida State University or Florida A&M. Florida A&M has a marvelous school of journalism over there. Turned out some really talented folks over the years. Continues to do so. And so it is that we'll have opportunity to talk with Mr. Flanagan as he brings us news about the upcoming legislative session, his take on what are those hot topics that will no doubt occupy much of the 60 days, the 2 months that will be dubbed as the 2023 Florida legislative session. With Bill Cotterell finally hanging it up again, I think it's his third or fourth retirement, it leaves Tom with this dubious honor of being the last soldier standing. When it comes to what I will simply call honest, thoughtful journalism, not trying to sharpen anybody else's axe, not necessarily trying to bring his personal perspective to bear, except that I'm certain that there are times when it's difficult to separate one from the other. No question about that. A lot of times it just comes down to what you think is newsworthy, right? And it's curious to me. Sometimes people say, oh, that's not newsworthy. And I'm thinking, according to whom? But then you start looking at how we get the news these days and have for some time, and the role that internet transmission plays in all of that, and social media, of course. Wow. It is it's questionable as to whether or not any of us are getting anything that is anything close to the facts, because all of that can be so clearly and quickly, I don't want to say easily, but maybe that is appropriate, manipulated and directed. And so that it creates a kind of, I think, Carl, you were saying earlier, kind of illusion about how massive, you know, a given issue may be. Well, you know, it's that old megaphone kind of approach. Back in the old days, I mean, when I was a kid, if a guy was running for office, you know, he'd rent a truck and they'd mount this massive loudspeaker, you know, the big bullhorns on the truck, and they'd be rolling down the street. You know, vote for John Smith, county commissioner. And I, in fact, as a kid, I remember I was probably third or fourth grade, and my buddies who lived next door, their dad was running for commissioner Leon. Well, let's see, that would have been King County commissioner in Seattle. And the kids were responsible for the printing of all of his yard signs. This was Dave Warmoth back in those days. I remember the man's name. He's a good guy, good neighbor. But that's right. Yeah, his campaign was just that. He had us in his garage with the paint roller and the stencil, making yard signs until, you know, it seemed like for days on end, that's all we did to help him out. And it was that. It was the kind of work that it takes to get your message out. Well, these days, you know, if you've got a Twitter account, as long as it doesn't get canceled, and apparently it's a little different situation over there at the old Twitter factory these days. But you get my point, that we've become accustomed to the ease at which we can just snatch a news bite here or there. And we've been lulled into not questioning whether or not we can find that piece, that bite, trustworthy at all. Now, of course, if it plays to our predisposition, you know, our opinions on any given topic, well, that's got to be true. Wow. Yeah. We don't have that ability to step away and find that third party perspective. You know, because we're all on that same train. And as the train is going 60 miles an hour, things racing past us, man, this is a psychological, a social psychological fact that has been long established. Yep. In which our perceptions of reality are shaped by our predisposition, our experiences, you know, even our intention. Is shaped by, and our attribution of intent is shaped by, in a phenomenological sort of way, how we go about believing someone is telling us the truth. Very, very difficult in today's cultural environment. More difficult in a contested environment in which competing views are not simply differences of opinion, but in fact, they are enemies. They are squared off. And we're looking for someone to come out bloodied and defeated. And the other one, hopefully our side, is the victor. Leave it to the rest of us who are not interested in that to find a better way, perhaps. If it's doable, find a better way of getting to the hearts of the people who matter most, the people whose interests are most at stake. We'll talk with Tom Flanagan about that. Coming up right after this.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Tom Flanagan has been with WFSU News since 2006, started when he was 13, so that's okay. Focusing on covering local personalities, issues, and organizations, he began his broadcast career more than 30 years before that and covered news for several radio stations, Florida, Texas, and of course his beloved home state of Maryland. In between, he spent a number of years in corporate communications for a few private firms, the time he calls invaluable in that it gave him a greatly expanded media perspective. Now, during the relatively rare times that he's not racing to cover various community events, and I mean racing, Tom enjoys reading and playing guitar. Professional drummer in his previous life, he was, and is trying to expand his musical horizons. We're going to find out more about that as we welcome our good friend Tom Flanagan. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, Brother Brian. How are you?
I am so delighted that we have these gatherings, you and I, among the faithful, to get caught up with you and get a little perspective as we go forward here in 23. Legislative session, not far. When does that start?
That starts the first week in March, because is not an election year. And if you recall, Brian, it used to be March and April every year. And it was only within the past, 13 years, I think, the legislature decided in its infinite wisdom that they may require some additional time to prepare for upcoming elections because the issues had become so complex and the power players needed more time to compromise, to work out possible points of agreement in these things. Actually, they needed two more months to raise money, so they moved in election year cycles.
I wonder why your tongue was stuck over there in your cheek.
Yeah. Right. But they moved on the even years, which are election years, to a January-February scenario for legislature.
Gotcha. So for us, that means that traffic will still be fairly manageable through the month of February. If you were to say, and I'm asking you to say, those issues that are on the forefront for this year's legislative session, what would those be?
You've got most of the majors, I think, Brian, already teed up. Most recently, we heard earlier this week the leadership of the House come out in full agreement with a so-called constitutional, or as some people would call it, permitless carry bill for firearm possession in the state of Florida, which would obviate the need to go to the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services and get a concealed carry permit. It just, you have a gun, you can carry it with you. So that's been done.
Going back to our early days in Tallahassee, where gunfights in the streets were very common, I suppose.
Yes. If you talk to someone named Beth Civita, who gives these wonderful tours of the downtown in her little golf carts, she can show you exactly where either the sword duels or the pistol fights were in downtown Tallahassee back in the day. It certainly made for a lot of great entertainment in the days before the internet and binge watching of Netflix.
They had a horse track too, didn't they, in the center of town?
You sure did. Yeah. Had that.
Okay, so we're talking about concealed weapons. What's next on that list?
Right now, concealed books in schools. Many of them are concealed because of a fear that certain titles, certain subject matters may run afoul of Florida law, which would preclude such things as CRT,
critical race theory. Uh-huh.
Exactly, which is, the last I checked, only taught over at the FSU Law School to graduate level students. But the governor and the House and Senate leadership believe has infiltrated into the public school system. And so that is something that can't be talked about. Also, anything that would have to do with sexuality, not just kindergarten through third grade, which was the initial iteration of that in the last legislative session, but possibly extending now into middle school. Needless to say, the public school mechanism is kind of thrown askance by all of this. Mm-hmm. And the proposed as well as the existing legislation is not super specific, so no one wants to run afoul of what it may or may not say. So the safest course of action seems to be, let's just, you know, push this aside and we're not even going to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, so we got guns, we have courses and books, then what?
And then look for something else to be teed up. That is insurance. We all need insurance. We had a special session, as you will recall, late last year on homeowners insurance in the wake of things like Hurricane Ian, which totally threw the industry, which was already hurting in Florida. For an even bigger loop, you have additional carriers that are bailing. And after a number of years of shrinkage, Citizens Property Insurance, the state-run insurer of last resort, is once again getting customers hand over fist up to now, what I think the last was 1.6 some million policyholders under Citizens. So that's going in a direction other than what the legislature would like. But you got auto insurance, and we always come up on, let's just do away with no fault. Well, every time there's a fender bender in Publix parking lot, do you really want to go to trial on this? Yeah. I don't know. That has yet to be worked out. And something else that is rearing its head is something called pharmacy benefit managers. Governor DeSantis has put those organizations, which act as a middleman, kind of between your drugstore of choice and your insurance company, and to make sure that your claim gets paid, has put that into his crosshairs and would like to rein them in by enacting additional regulation. Needless to say, the industry and many large pharmacies, which also own some of these pharmacy benefit management companies, are not too delighted with this development. So that it doesn't bother anyone unless, of course, you go to the drugstore with a prescription and you have insurance. Otherwise, no one cares.
Yeah. In fact, that's all? I mean, there's nothing else?
That's enough to get them started. We'll see what else comes, because always it is full of surprises,
Brian. I was going to say, and that all has to work its way through in how many weeks? Let's see.
You have 60 days of session.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But during the first usually 3-4 weeks, traditionally, it's kind of, hey, what did you do since we were here last? Oh my gosh, you're looking great. Have you lost weight? You're working out. And suddenly they realize, well, it's not
cocktail parties.
Yeah, it's not just the things we elucidated, Brian. Yeah. They have to pass a state budget.
Yeah.
This year, they don't have quite as much money as they did last year because a lot of that federal money that came out of the COVID program, remember, Paycheck Protection Plan, PPP, all that stuff, they're not going to have all that this year. And how much will it cost to take over Disney? I mean, that 25,000 acres, that's a big chunk of ground down there in Central Florida. So I'm sure there'll be some money attached to that, too.
Wow. Okay. So if you were to say to any of those folks, and you probably have, who found themselves at the closing of the election back in November, who happen to be Democrats, right? They're probably scratching their heads too as to what happened and what do we go do now? How do we go forward at this juncture? So we're going to talk a little bit about that as we return from a quick break here. Folks, we're listening to Tom Flanagan. There's too many nice things to say about him, so I won't repeat myself, even though I'd love to do it. And Tom, I have to tell you, for a lot of us who fancy ourselves able to sit on this side of the microphone. You have been that person that we often go to for marks. We look at whether or not it was worthy based on what we see you doing or hear you doing. And so I think you've been a contributor in a lot of ways. And among those of us who purport to be professionals in this business, we have a lot to be thankful for. Folks, we're going to take this moment and we'll be back right after this.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
We're back. We're talking with Tom Flanagan. If you have just joined us, well, you know what, friends? This is why you don't want to show up late to Tom's party, because all the good stuff he puts out first, right? But it's okay.
We go from the single malt scotch to the Miller Lite. What are you going to do, Brian?
It happens, though, that this man is able to keep us focused on the things that matter most after we've consumed the more delectable parts of any conversation. And that brings me to say, when you consider the Tallahassee that we are today, let's go against the Tallahassee that it was when you and I first arrived here so many years ago. Any one difference, any one noteworthy change in the community? What pops for you? What do you think?
I think the change is change. That is the biggest thing. When you and I came here, Brian, you will remember there were some legacy families who had been four or five, maybe even six generations of North Florida, and certain names would pop out that these were the folks who were the movers and shakers back going to the Civil War, maybe even preceding that. This joint's been around since, remember, 1824, as we will find out next year when we go into our bicentennial celebration, which is going to be awesome.
Yes.
It should be really a tribute.
Are you cheering
to this.
That whole thing? Is that your job to cheer?
No, I'm gonna watch it and report on it, because if I get directly involved in anything, really, then I got to back off. I mean, out of the ethics, I know that that's a dirty word in some in some corners, but if you are an ethical journalist, if you are directly involved in something, you should not be covering it yourself. Leave that to your compadres, and they'll at least have a more objective way of looking at it than you would.
So clearly you've established that you and I are old school, because that is not the contemporary opinion on how we go about doing this business of journalism.
You're saying we're not influencers? Brian, I'm shocked and appalled.
I'm sure you are, but it's not by intention. It's really by default that people come back and say, well, what did Tom have to say about that? So I agree with you. I think, in fact, it has to do with how we better highlight the things that everybody else needs to know. And maybe that is the contribution. What you're saying is, coming into this next year from now, this bicentennial for us, you know, I'm reminded that in the old days, we'll talk about the 60s. Let's not go back into the prior century. But legislatures then, politicians then, resembled what a lot of people consider as a more, I suppose, gentlemanly-like or lady-like way of doing things. And I'm thinking of the Mallory Horn era, particularly.
Or the Hurley Rudds. The Hurley Rudds. You know, Carol Bellamy's. All right. These folks should go back there. Lee Voss over at the county commission.
Well, and the big Hee-Coon himself, you know, right?
Exactly.
So with that in mind, do we see personalities of that nature in your experience thus far? I mean, are we seeing in this time, we'll go, you know, the last 5-10 years and going forward, as far as we can tell, I don't see a whole lot of that. And maybe the notion of statesmanship is passé, and the idea that we go in wanting to learn as opposed to wanting to win our point. Is that fair?
I think that maybe we are all driven, of course, by a couple of things. One is demographics, and that references what I said earlier about change. I think we are a far more diverse society, not only here in Tallahassee, but also statewide. Florida is, ever since 1982, a guy by the name of John Nesbitt, he had a great bestseller book called Megatrends.
Right.
And he came to Tallahassee and spoke at, of all things, Tiger Bay Club, which has been around much longer than you or I. Mm. And he was just saying, hey, Florida, you are on the cusp of the future. You guys are the predictors of how the rest of the country is going to go when it comes to the makeup of the population and incomes and all this other stuff.
Wow.
And I think we continue in that role to this day, and Tallahassee maybe a little bit more than the rest of the state. Mm. We started off much younger than the rest of Florida. It's been a back and forth between us and Gainesville as the two youngest places in Florida since the universities came to be.
Wow.
And we're seeing the people who move into Tallahassee right now, actually a lot on the other side. We're getting retirees, for crying out loud. Usually you have a fledgling bunch of university folks from FAMU and Florida State and TCC, and they split. They're out of here. Right. There's nothing to do in this town. And then they come back in 5, 10, 15, 20 years to raise their families.
Interesting.
Amazing how that works out.
Interesting.
But we're seeing that change take place. We're also seeing something that I think, Brian, you and I can discern when it comes to this income inequality. And it's not just 3-2-3-0-4. Mm. That's a throwaway. The overall society, you're getting more of a gap here. The younger folks do not have the same income earning potential as perhaps their parents and grandparents did. That, I think, is going to change some things. And we're seeing it here in this town, where you have people like City Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, who's tapping into this. Hey, this needs to be more of an even playing field for everyone, especially younger folks who may have a lot of doors closed to them now that were open to previous generations. Mm. That's getting some traction. Not enough, as we mentioned off air, to make him the head of the Democratic Party of Florida. But hey, you know, young guy, a lot of time ahead of him. We'll see how that goes. But you've got those cross currents that are cooking around in this town, too.
And that would make sense, too, in terms of how Leon County, we'll say, particularly city of, has embraced Jeremy and others like him, David O'Keefe for the county. These are younger people who are bringing that message more strongly than I recall it being iterated in my time here. 45 years I've been in Tallahassee, and all of a sudden you got people standing up and saying no, and the local Democrat Party throwing to the progressive wing, we'll call it, of the Democrat Party against the traditionalist, right? Or the is that fair?
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with demographics too.
Again,
if you get to younger people, you're not going to have the tendency to be in partisan political lockstep, whether Republicans or Democrats. This,
right,
I believe, is a much more issue-driven group that, hey,
right,
I can go along with conservative viewpoints in this area, but man, when it comes to this and this and this and this, I'm way on the other side.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have, why is the fastest growing political party in Florida no party at all?
Yeah, right. NPA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were at Tiger Bay earlier in the week. You mentioned it. And now a professor emeritus.
Yeah, Susan McManus. Yeah, she's been on everybody's radio and TV program. And her whole thing was exactly what we just described, how Florida as a whole has become far more diverse, is becoming younger. The fastest growing demographics are the 18 to 49. You know, we grew up saying, oh, Florida is right. where all America goes to die.
Blows
we're
that
not
stereotype
that.
Right out of the water.
Exactly. Right, and yeah. when it comes to resources, when it comes to education, when it comes to all these other things, that is going to drive a lot of what we see going forward statewide, but also here in Tallahassee. We're capturing that maybe a little bit faster than the rest of the state is.
And her assertion is, watch out, boys and girls, because the rest of the country is going to be as is Florida now over the next, 20 years, I think?
She said what Florida was in 2021, America as a whole will be in 2041.
Interesting. Folks, we're talking with Tom Flanagan. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You can find us online anytime at TallahasseeTalks.com, or if you'd like to email us, send it to topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Broadcasting every week, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. You'll find us on MooseMagnificat.com, Tallahassee's radio to the world, on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. Stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Seller's Advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Seller's Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Seller's in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Folks, I hope you are enjoying today's broadcast as much as I am, because I have my good buddy, Tom Flanagan, who, I don't know if he feels obligated. Do you feel obligated to be here in some respect? Do I pressure you?
No, I enjoy
the guilt
this.
Trips don't have any effect on you, right?
I really, really enjoy this, Brian, because we don't have a lot of chances outside of our daily newsroom discussions, which we do. But we're wonks and policy freaks, and we'll dive into this and say, oh, my gosh, did you hear what Rick Miner said at the county commission meeting the other day? And we'll hyperventilate for a while do a follow-up story. Yeah. So we're easily amused.
Are you – let's go a little different direction here. Again, leaning on your seniority, if you'll pardon, in regard to not just your work in journalism, but as a member of the community. I mean, are you pleased with the direction we're going? Is that maybe the word pleased? Are you enthusiastic? Are you optimistic? I mean, are we heading in the right direction, or are we falling backwards in some respects? Are we stalemated? I mean, where do you see us now going forward?
Toughest question I think you've ever asked, Brian. And the reason for that being, as we said before, because of the different viewpoints, the different backgrounds, the different places that all the people in this community come from, which are way across the board here. What is important to me and of absolute critical consequence, who cares on your side? And we can talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, that debate, it's energizing and exciting, and we love that. We love to spar a little bit. And now, why take this viewpoint? Why take the other one? And we can hash it out. What distresses me more than anything, and this is not just Tallahassee, this is everywhere, is our new growing default position that those who disagree with me are the enemy and must be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Now, not everyone feels that way, certainly, but we tend to see more of that today, I think, than any time since I've been covering this stuff. Yeah. It's easy to say, those people, they're the ones, and then froth and fume. Yeah. And that doesn't bring them to the table and say, okay, how do we work this out?
Right.
Now, neither one of us are going to be happy when we leave here, but we got to have something, guys. We can't just shriek at each other. That's really counterproductive.
It's the influence of professional athletics. I think we find ourselves in that sort of on the playing field, you know, zero-sum game. You cannot win if I'm going to win. One of us has to lose. And because we've become sort of, I think, enamored with, if not addicted to, that sort of finalism, is that a word? The finality of the outcome, you know, at the end of the game, zero time left on the clock, what's the score? You know what we hate most? A tie. We hate more than that, overtime, because we want this thing resolved here and now so we can move on. You know, and it's interesting too how that plays out in Tallahassee. You know, the ACC schedule was released earlier in the week, so now we know what the matchups are. Well, I guarantee you that a host of our friends are sitting there with their calculators working out the odds. They did that within the first 2 minutes after seeing that schedule. You know, you mentioned Sue Semrau. We talked at length about this with her, and we have with Lonnie Alameda, how much collegiate athletics not only is influenced by the culture, but how much collegiate athletics is influencing us. We're here inside of a college town, and I don't think we're immune to any of that.
No, because what is the now political? It's always been, of course, but again, to a greater degree, perhaps, than we've seen. What is the end game when it comes to governance? Total domination. Well, you're not going to get it in most instances. Right. And everyone will leave the table unhappy in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But that's the way you got to get it done, unless you kill the other guy. And that's still, you know, at least a third-degree felony in Florida.
In fact, and you won't have to have a concealed weapons permit to do it. In fact, it goes into this business of saying your viewpoints are really just an extension of who you are, which is what I've heard you say here. So you have to be a bad person. You know, you and I cannot disagree on substance. I just don't like you because you hold these views as strongly as I do, maybe more strongly than I do. And you're smarter, and you're better, well informed, and so you I don't have a chance to try to defend myself against you, and for that reason I don't like you, and when I decide I don't like you, I have no interest in anything else you have to say. My wife and I live in a very small suburb of the city of Tallahassee in the county, on the east side of town. And we just got through having our annual homeowners meeting now just about a week or so ago. I remember 15 years ago, my wife was elected as president of this. To her credit, my wife decided, we are going to observe Robert's rules of order here. You will raise your hand and be called upon. All that to say, fast forward, we just finished this annual meeting, and everybody was amazed at how smooth everything went. And there are some very strong disagreements. And again, the personalities are just as colorful as they've ever been. How did that happen? How did we bring that about? Patience, encouraging tolerance, fairness, her willingness to stop and say, no, we're not going to do it that way just because I agree with you on that position. We're going to give everybody a fair shake. And that message went out pretty clearly. And over time, people begin to trust the process again.
Well, you renormalized behaviors, and you changed the culture, the expectation that here's how, when we all sit down as widely differing as our views can be, and we're going to talk about that here. We're going to tamp down the emotional response. We're going to listen to what the other guy has to say. We may still totally disagree with it, but we'll wait for him to finish. Then we'll advance our point of view, and maybe someone else in the group will agree with me or agree with him, and we'll keep talking until we, we can't do that, but maybe we can do this.
Yeah.
What do you think? Well, yeah, I guess I can live with that. And suddenly you've got something that's built. No, again, it's not going to be total agreement amongst everybody. Mm. But you made at least that communication possible. If everyone's shrieking at each other at the same time, not much gets accomplished.
No, not at all. Folks, when it comes to better helping you and I calm down, I think Tom is that voice of reason in an otherwise rather stormy environment. And it's been your role all of these many years. What did we say you've been with WFSU for now? Is it 100 years? Or
It seems at least 200. I don't know.
Well, it's only 30.
Yeah.
Come on, 30 years of – that's nothing. Three decades. Come on, man. And you look better than you did 30 years ago. Your vitamins are working, brother. You got it going on.
It's all that skin treatment that I take.
I got to tap into some of that, too. I'll find out about that. Folks, I hope that you have enjoyed this as much as I always do, having Tom Flanagan here, and we will continue this conversation. He's got a little something he's got to do over the next few months having to do with the state legislature. So you're going to go in for the deep dive. We'll hope that you can keep breathing. Keep that diving suit handy, and we'll bring you back once you reemerge, okay?
Thanks so much, Brian. It's always a joy, and I appreciate you having me on.
As always. Folks, that's what we do here every week for you, talking with people like Tom Flanagan. It's our business to bring you the people that are talking about the things you and I care about the most. We call it Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, the radio station in Tallahassee that brings you all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. You'll find them online at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and I'll be looking for you again next week. So, Tom and I say this together. Come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Yeah,
okay. That's close enough.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.